Standing Christian greetings of love to each of you this evening. It's already been a blessing to be here with you this evening. Well, tonight the subject is the joys of heaven. That's the subject that was given to me this evening. Joy, we know what that is. Happiness, satisfied, fulfilled, rewarded. Blessings. No better place to be. Heaven. Place where God and saints and angels dwell in eternity. The Bible speaks about three heavens. The aerial heavens, the sky, the birds, and such like. And then the broader expanse of the universe, other planets and such like. And then our subject this evening. In Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And that thy right hand are pleasures evermore." What a blessed place to be. You know, tonight there are only two destinies. The end of life, either heaven or hell. Where will we spend eternity? You know, tonight I'm talking about a subject that I've never experienced. That's where I'm at tonight. But you know, I look what the Apostle Paul said, I see through a glass darkly. But then face to face shall I behold his presence. That's what I'm longing for, and I trust you are tonight. Yet we have enough scriptures to give us a window into heaven, to motivate us and to inspire us on to look forward to life after death. That's such a blessing. I trust this message will give you a little bit more homesick for heaven as we look into this subject tonight. That we're a little bit like Abraham. Abraham, the Bible says, look for a city whose builder and maker is God. You know, just not long ago, I had a nephew who was over and during the Iraqi war. He was in the war over there. He brought me back some pictures of where they believe that Abraham was there in Ur. Abraham had the largest complex in Ur. He left all that behind and looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. What about you and I tonight? He didn't have all the scriptures that I have here tonight to bring to you in relation to that. But there was a man who looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Jesus talked about it. I guess as I come to this message tonight, I wonder if we preach enough about heaven. You know, Jesus talked about it. He mentioned it 17 times in the Sermon on the Mount alone. And over 70 times in the Gospel of Matthew. He wants us to think about it. He wants us to not talk, know about it. He constantly held it before the people. You know, tonight, if you and I were going to go live in another country, somewhere in another country, I have some friends of mine that are moving to another country. If we were going to go there, we want to know all about it before we go there. What are the people like? What's the climate like there? What kind of housing is there? We'll be able to communicate the language. Is the government stable? These kind of things. What do we need to know to prepare for it? We would ask those kind of questions, wouldn't we? Tonight you and I are going to another country. Someday. You know, another new one man. He thought he'd move out of this country into another country. And he said, you know, he said, I found out the devil was there too. That won't be in heaven, dear ones. It won't be in heaven. Tonight, the first part of this message is, what is a glimpse of heaven like that brings joy to his people? Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. These are very familiar verses to us. John 14, verses 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Thinking about heaven brings calmness to the believer tonight. It brings a calmness to the soul. Jesus was telling his disciples that. It says there'll be many mansions there. There's plenty of room. There's room there in heaven. No overcrowded city. There's room, room, plenty of room. Jesus is inviting us there. The Lord is making bounty provisions for us. He made this earth in 7 days. Think about it. And we rest in awe of the beauty of nature, don't we? And how God created it in 7 days. Just think about him preparing heaven for us over 2,000 years. What a magnificence it'll be like. I can't imagine tonight. What about you? And how wonderful it will be. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands in the eternal, in the heavens." Things won't grow old there. They won't fade away. Not so in heaven. Heaven is built by God, not made with hands. It's eternal. Time will be no more there. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 11 in verses 5 to 9. Isaiah 11, verses 5 to 9. And yes, I believe here this is speaking of during Christ's 1,000-year reign, but I believe also it will be like that in the animal kingdom in heaven. In Isaiah 11, verses 5 to 9, it says, "And the righteous shall be the girdle of his loins and faithfulness and the girdle of his reins. And the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones and shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den, and that they shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord, and as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be the root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time and recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left, and from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and Elam, and from Shur, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea." But really what I wanted to hear in this passage is the harmony we see of the animals, you know, of the lion and the bear and all those together. That kind of harmony, I believe, will be in heaven. Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. What will we be like? Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. You know, our flesh has not been redeemed yet. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, and it shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." What am I saying here? You know, that word conversation means citizenship here. You and I have dual citizenship this evening. But in verse 21, you know, we'll have a body like his resurrected body, like Christ's body was after the resurrection, I believe it's saying here. You know, Christ went through closed doors. We find out in Luke 24:33. He had hands. And at one point, the disciples thought he was a spirit. And yet it says he had hands. I believe our new bodies will be like Christ's resurrected body. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. What is heaven going to be like? The joys of heaven. Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, and which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like unto the stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the 12 gates, 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them were the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the walls thereof. And the city lieth four square, the length of it as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed in 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, an angel. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. First the foundation was jasper, and the second sapphire, and the third chalcedony, and the fourth an emerald, and the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardis, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, and the tenth chrysoprase, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold. It was transparent as were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nation of it which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day thereof, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be in no wise enter in it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Dropping down to chapter 22, verses 1 to 5, and then verse 14. And he showed me a river of pure water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river. And there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, the leaves of the trees that were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And for there shall be no night there, neither need a candle, need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Down to verse, blessed are they that, verse 14, they that do the commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates of the city. You know, in verse 1 here, he talks about a new heaven and a new earth. In verse 2, a holy city, the new Jerusalem. It's pure, no sin there. And notice the church is betrothed to Christ. Unequal to the city life as we know it. No filth, no immorality, no evil, no crowded conditions. You know, in verse 3, I think I find is the greatest joy I think will be in heaven. You know, he says here, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them and he shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Sitting down with the Lord Jesus, one of the greatest joys in the presence of God, with no battles of the flesh to face, no evil one. The Lord will be with us forever. In his presence, our redemption will be complete. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, we'll talk a little bit more about that later. In verse 4, there's no more sadness. God shall wipe away all tears, no sorrow, no disappointments, no death, no parting, no crying, no sickness, no pain. All will be glorious, no suffering. It's the joys of heaven. In verse 6, he will give the water of life freely. We will be made perfect like Christ. God always was and always will be. God is eternal. But in verse 7, he's calling us to be overcomers today. We must prepare for eternity. Be no sin in heaven. God's greatest desire from Genesis to Revelations, I see here, throughout the scriptures, is voluntary fellowship of mankind out of a pure heart and rewarded in heaven. There'll be no defiled hearts there. Verse 8, there'll be those that don't make it. Sin in their lives, unfaithfulness, unbelieving, murders, immorality, and adulterers. And the list could go on. But in verse 9, the marriage of Christ and the church has taken place here. This is the bride, the Lamb's wife. In verses 11 to 27 gives us a window, the beautiful mansions, the various colors, resplendent beyond our imaginations. The glory of God is there in verse 11. The presence of God is there. He says jasper here, but not as we know it. It says in one of the commentaries, it says, but it's like diamond, which sort of brings it out in the rest of the verse. It talks about 12 gates in verses 12 to 13. There's security there. Verse 14, 12 foundations, which represents the apostles. You know, in verse 16, it talks about 2,000 furlongs. That's 1,500 miles, square miles. Uncomprehendable city. It surpasses all human comprehension. You know, I think they say Mexico City is one of the largest cities in the world. I flew into that city some years ago. You know, we could see that city long before we got there. But that's no comparison to what we'll see here. It says 144 cubits of the wall. That's 200 feet. Walls of jasper, city of pure gold. Jasper like diamond, like clear as glass. In verse 19 and 20 is the magnificent colors. 12 gates of pearl, we see in verse 21. One pearl, the street of the city was of pure gold. Verse 22, God the Father and the Son are the temple of it. No need for light there. The glory of God doth lighten it. In verse 23, the light of the glory of God. In verse 25, there's no night there. Verse 27, there's no defilement, only pure and holy. Only those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are there. But in chapter 22, a river of pure water of life, clear as crystal. You know, some time ago, we were out in California at Lake Tahoe. You'll see that lake on calendars. If you go out there on a pier and look down, it's noted for its clearness. You look down off of the pier, and it looks like the ground is right there, and they say it's 20 feet down. But dear ones, this will be purer than that Lake Tahoe ever was. In verse 2, the water of life produces health and strength. No illness there. Tree of life. Like the garden restored back before the fall of man. No curse there. The curse is removed. Total restoration like before the fall of man. In verse 5, no need of a candle or the sun. The Lord God giveth the light forever and ever. Blessed, in verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, have the right to the tree of life. That's the enter. What it takes to enter into the gate. Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 7, and verses 1 to 9, and verses 9 to 17. Revelation chapter 7, we get another glimpse. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. It says, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne under the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and the elders and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest it. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him night and day in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. We get another glimpse. It says, great multitudes which no man can number, from all kindreds and nations. Notice how they're clothed in white robes, a sign of purity. Only those that are pure will enter there. In verse 10, we'll see the fullness of our salvation complete. We see fully what Christ has done for us on that side of eternity. You know, our salvation is not complete. Our bodies have not been redeemed yet. In verses 11, 12, worshiping and praising and singing to our God. And never tire. Only blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving to our God. I believe that's be our lot in heaven. But in verse 14, only those who have their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. Will we spend our time in eternity serving in God day and night? There'll be no hunger and thirst anymore. The Lamb is in the midst, and he shall lead us and feed us to living fountains of water. Heaven, what is it? Revelations 2:7 says it's a paradise, a holy city, Revelations 21:2. Mount Zion, Revelations 14:1. Turn with me to Revelations 19, verses 7 to 9. Talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. I think that's something the church should look forward to. One of the joys in heaven. Revelations 19. Verses 7 to 9. Said, let us be glad and rejoice. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are true sayings of God. And this is not original with me, but I'd just like to share with you. And one writer wrote, the marriage supper of the Lamb, completeness, perfection of the church is here. His bride has made herself ready. The rising of the church to the nearest, happiest communion with Christ in his glory is the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage of the Lamb has come. The espousal leads up to this. Lots of preparation. The preparation is here. Christ is looking forward to it. The church is looking forward to it. The fulfillment of long expectations of both Christ and the church. It's like a bride and a bridegroom. The open publication of the great fact, mutual love and union, be it the marriage supper of the Lamb. Overflowing of mutual delight and joy, gladness and rejoicing. The grandest display and magnificence. Commencement of eternity, of unbroken rest. Rest in his leader, in his love. Like a bride finds rest in the leadership of her husband. It's a place of rest. Revelations 14:13. It's a place of blessedness. In Revelations 14:13. It's a place of peace. Isaiah 2, verse 4. It's a place where we sing the songs of Moses and the Lamb. Why would we sing the song of Moses and the Lamb there? I wonder why we sing that. If you go back to Exodus where it talks about the song of Moses and the Lamb, it says the Lord has triumphed gloriously. It'll be a tremendous triumph there. Where we will sing a new song, Revelations 14:3. Had to wonder, what is that new song we'll sing? Which I think it's a song where our redemption will be fully complete. And we'll be looking back at that. You know, here, our soul has been redeemed, but our bodies, we still have the flesh to deal with. There, salvation will be complete. And somehow it'll bring a new song to us. A place where the Lamb, Jesus, will feed us and lead us to living fountains of water. Revelation 7:17. A place where the saints have kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelations 14:12. A place where innumerable company of angels praise the Lord with a loud voice saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Revelations 5:12. And Revelations 4:10-11 speaks of casting our crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created." Yes, I believe if we have crowns, we'll cast them before the Lord Jesus, because he's the one that's worthy. That's where we'll do that. Now I'd like to look at what will not be in heaven. What will not be in heaven? Those that do not have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those that are not washed in the blood of the Lamb. There'll be no handicapped people there. Dear ones, as my son's laying there in Hershey on that bed, paralyzed. He can't move except for his right arm and his head up and down. One day he will walk again, dear ones. There'll be no paralyzation, no paralyzed ones there. There'll be no cripples there. They will have new bodies. Be no rehabs there. We look for rehabs here. There'll be no rehabs there. No death, no parting with loved ones. Because the last enemy that was destroyed was death. We will not suffer from heat or cold there in Revelation 7:16. No immorality, no divorce, no homosexuality, no transgender, no thieves, no drug abuse, no crime there. That will not be in heaven. No mental breakdowns, no stress, no relationship problems, no tiredness, no weariness, no schedules to meet. Time will be no more. No frustration, no temptation, no battles over sin because the battle has been won. Salvation will be complete. Our bodies will be redeemed. Sin will not be in heaven. No watching our loved ones suffer. No starving, no thirsty, no malnutrition. No disease, no wrecks, no accidents. No sickness, no financial setbacks. No enemies, no church splits. No tiredness of singing praises to my Lord and Savior. No old bodies to be worn out. There's a dear old brother. He's going on to his reward now. I used to talk to him in his older years. He'd say to me, "Marvin," he said, "this old body is just wearing out." Dear ones, he has a new body now. Oh, what a blessed sight. Thinking of the joys of heaven, what should it do for us presently? You know, as I look at these and we ponder these scriptures, what should do for you and I today? Think of the promise of eternity is choose to follow Christ now. That's one thing. Cause us to live a pure life before the Lord and to live so we live with Him forever. Look beyond this present evil world. 1 Corinthians 15 says we're men most miserable without hope. Look beyond this present world. Realize that even though sin is running rampant today, God will be the final victor, dear ones, tonight. God will be the final victor. Realize that we have a dual citizenship. That we are like Abraham, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Live as pilgrims and strangers now, because here we have no continuing city. We will be there forever and ever. We should not become too attached to these things of time and sense. And keep eternity in view. Realize that when sorrow and grief and pain come our way, it should cause us to look heavenward. Live to tell others the life beyond this life, to keep looking up. You know, tonight, we can experience a bit of heaven on earth. In Matthew 6, verse 10, refers to godly marriage. I believe our godly marriages and godly homes. Matthew 6:20 says, lay up treasure in heaven. When trials and tribulations come our way, it should cause us to have a longing for heaven. You know, when you have trials and tribulations in life, it should give us a longing for heaven. Another part of this message here, I have the dying words of people just before entering eternity. I'd like to share a number of those with you. Of quotes of people that, as they were just leaving this earth and heading into eternities, the things they said. One said, I have not been disappointed. Another one said, my God, I come flying to thee. Another one said, the celestial city is now in full view. Another one said, how beautiful the opening of heavens round me shine. The sun is setting and mine is rising. I go from a bed to a crown. Another one said, the best of all, God is with us. That was John Wesley. Said that on his deathbed. This was an Anabaptist martyr said, I was never so happy as in the day when I was sentenced to die for Jesus on his deathbed. Now farewell to world. Welcome heaven. The day star from on high hath visited my heart. Another one said, I am almost in eternity. I long to be there. Oh, to be in heaven, to praise and glorify God. Another one said, if I had strength to hold a pen, I would write how easy and delightful it is to die. We have in Acts chapter 7, Stephen said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lay not this sin to their charge. Just before Stephen was there as he was being stoned to death, that was his last words. In conclusion tonight, the part of the joys of heaven will not be fully realized until our salvation is complete. With a new body, we will cast our crown at Jesus' feet. He alone is worthy. And we realize what he saved us all from. I trust tonight, someday, we all in this audience will experience the joys of heaven together. Let us be faithful till he comes. Heaven is worth it all. Let us kneel for prayer.